We went all the way up to the opening of the sixth seal. Then all of a sudden, I got on the two witnesses, and for the last several months, we've been talking about the two witnesses. Well, I'm going to begin again and continue through the book of Revelation. And we're going to begin with the sixth seal and the seventh seal. And then each Sunday, we're going to continue with the first trumpet, then the second trumpet, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh trumpet. And we're going to cover all seven vials, and it'll take a while. But we're going to start today with the sixth vial, the opening of the sixth vial. And since we've been talking about the two witnesses, and since the sixth vial actually begins the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, I thought I would simply put this diagram on the screen, and we could take a look at the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Now, this is not the whole tribulation period. This is the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. It's called the Great Tribulation Period. In Revelation 11:3, we've been on this for some time, and I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. That's 1,260 days. Sometimes it's called times, half a times. Sometimes it's called 3.5 years. Sometimes it's called 42 months. But it means the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. The Bible measures years as 360 days. A prophetic year is 360 days. So what we're going to be talking about for the next several months, Lord willing, in the middle of the tribulation period, war begins. The Antichrist attacks Israel. It's at this time that the sixth seal is open. When the sixth seal is open, we begin a long series of terrifying events that are beyond all description, horrifying events that have never occurred in this tenacity and with this intensity on this earth since God put Adam here. So we're going to start off with the sixth seal this morning, and we're going to go then to the first trumpet. Then we're going to go to the second trumpet, third trumpet, fourth trumpet, fifth trumpet, and all the way through to the seventh trumpet. Then we're going to go vial number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All these events occur in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. The seventh vial closes the tribulation period. It says, "And there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city fell, and Babylon came in remembrance to give unto her the cup of the fury of his wrath." Brothers and sisters in Christ, we're going to be talking about the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, the last 42 months, and it's going to be a time of awesome and unbelievable terror. So that's what we're going to be talking about. Now, the beginning of the 42 months, when the Antichrist attacks Israel, we find in Revelation 12:6 that the woman who is Israel, and which I've proved conclusively with the scriptures, the woman Israel fled into the wilderness. I have also proved conclusively without question that the wilderness is the Negev wilderness, which is about, well, it's almost half of Israel, where she had a place prepared of God. I've shown you how Israel has prepared that place already, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. So here we have the nation of Israel trapped in the southern part of Israel, left there for the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. It is to the woman Israel that the two witnesses will do most of their particular witnessing. And there was war in heaven. Now, we switch over now to Daniel, and we switch over to, Revelation 7, which follows, of course, Revelation 12:6, where we were. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought against his angels. We're right at the beginning of the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. This is when the sixth seal opens, which we're going to cover in a moment. This is when the Antichrist attacks Israel. This is when Israel flees into the Negev wilderness for 1,260 days. And this is when the archangel Michael, in Revelation 12:7, begins to fight against the dragon, who is Satan, and the dragon fought in his angels. This is a war in heaven that begins in the middle of the tribulation period. I notice in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1, that this is a cross-reference, a parallel reference to this same time in the book of Daniel. And he begins to describe this terrifying beginning of the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. So looking back at Revelation 12 and 7, Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought against his angels. This is the middle of the tribulation period. In Daniel 12 and 1, it says, "And at that time, at the time when Michael stands up, he begins to fight against the devil for the nation of Israel. Daniel 12:1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble. Now this is the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. This is the time of the deliverance. This is the time of the rapture. This is when people are delivered that are written in the book. Now take a look in Revelation 12 and 6. Because in Revelation 12 and 6, we find the, actually Revelation, that first one on Revelation 12 and 6, that's the woman fleeing into the wilderness, and this is Revelation 6 and 12, not Revelation 12 and 6, but Revelation 6, 12. So looking at Revelation 6 and 12, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth and hair, and the moon became as blood. We're going to be dealing next Sunday morning with why the sun becomes black as sackcloth of hair, and why the moon takes on a hamati, a blood red color. But when this sixth seal is opened, it is the time the war begins in heaven. It is the time that Michael stands up and fights. It is the time that Israel flees in the wilderness. It is the time that the Antichrist attacks Israel. Now the events that are going to occur during these 42 months, and I'll just read this, and then we're going to talk about something else for just a moment. This is Revelation 8, 5 through 7, Revelation 11, 12, 13, 15, and 19, and all I want you to get here is just the horrifying pictures that are presented of the devastation and terror on this earth. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth, and there were voices, phonos, noises, and thunders, and lightnings, and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Next Sunday, Lord willing, I'm going to show you exactly what hail is, kalaza, and fire here, and exactly what hamati blood is. I'm going to show you where it comes from. I'm going to show how God will produce it. And we're going to talk about the blowing of the first trumpet. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. So that'll be, Lord willing, next Sunday during Sunday school class. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying to them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. These are the two witnesses. This is Revelation 11, 12. And it's at this time that they ascend up to heaven after their bodies have laid in the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 days. Verse 13. In the same hour there was a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. Now there are a lot of other events that are going to occur, terrifying events, and we'll take a look at them later. But for right now, let's talk about this particular period of time that marks the beginning of the 42 months, the time of absolute terror on the earth. Before I do, I want to present you a series of statements about from the Bible that you will find, if you check them out for yourself, that they're true. I've done this in, I suppose, somewhere around 800 missionary Baptist churches in the last 20 years, and no one has ever been able to refute any of this, because if you check it out in your Bible, you'll discover it's true. These statements are necessary to be a kind of a precursor, a pre-herald of what I'm going to present in a few moments. They're simply statements about the Bible, and then I'll show you the scripture to back it up. Statement number one, the first earthquake in the book of Revelation occurs on the opening of the sixth seal. You will not find a single earthquake in the book of Revelation before the opening of the sixth seal. That marks the beginning of the last 3.5 years. This is a very great earthquake. It is the first one in the book of Revelation. The last earthquake in the book of Revelation occurs on the pouring out of the seventh vial of God's wrath. After the sixth seal, you have the seventh seal. Then you have seven trumpets. Then you have seven terrifying vials. That's where all your terrifying horror occurs, during those two particular phenomena, from the sixth seal through the trumpets and through the vials. The last earthquake in the book of Revelation occurs on the pouring out of the seventh vial of God's wrath. That's the greatest earthquake that's ever occurred since God made Adam. The statement that is used in the book of Revelation infers that before God made Adam, there were earthquakes greater than this. But this is greater than any that has occurred since God made Adam in the Garden of Eden. Now, statement number three. All the terrifying earthquakes, fire and brimstone of the tribulation period occurs between the sixth seal and the last vial. Check it out, you'll discover it's true. The sixth seal is the first great earthquake. It is the first earthquake in the book of Revelation. The last vial, the seventh vial, is the last earthquake in the book of Revelation. It is the greatest of them all. All the terrifying earthquakes, fire and brimstone of the tribulation period occurs between the sixth seal and the last vial. Those are the last 42 months of the tribulation period, the last 3.5 years, the last time, times, times, and half a times, whichever, however you want to put it. But it's the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, and that is when the time of Jacob's trouble occurs. That is when the terrifying events known as the Great Tribulation Period occurs. It is from the time that Antichrist attacks Israel to the end of the tribulation period. It is the time that the woman Israel is in the Negev wilderness for 3.5 years. Statement number four. Mountains and islands are mentioned together only twice in the book of Revelation. You will find that to be true. I underline together for this reason. The mountains are found a couple of other times, but mountains and islands are mentioned together at the same time, same scripture, same context, only twice in the book of Revelation. And it is not by accident that it is on the opening of the sixth seal, the first earthquake, and the pouring out of the last vial, the last earthquake. The reason that they are only mentioned twice is because these two particular scriptures, separated in the Bible, are the only times that God makes an inference to every mountain and every island on the surface of the earth being moved. And there's only one way that can happen, and there's only one personage who can do it, and that's the Holy Spirit. Statement number five. All, not some, but all the mountains and islands begin to change their geographical latitudinal and longitudinal positions on the opening of the sixth seal, the first earthquake. They continue to move throughout the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. They reach their final geographical locations on the pouring out of the last vial, the last earthquake, the great earthquake, in the book of Revelation, in the 16th chapter of Revelation. Every single island and every single mountain on the surface of the earth, by international agreement, because planes don't like to run into mountains, and because both ships and planes have to navigate the islands in the midst of the sea, in the central foci of every island, in the top of every mountain peak, there is a fixed set of latitudinal and longitudinal positions that are given so aircraft won't run into them and so ships will be able to find and navigate to islands. There is only one way that all the mountains and islands can have a change in their latitudinal and longitudinal positions. The latitudinal and longitudinal positions are given in seconds, microseconds. They're given in degrees, minutes, seconds, and microseconds. Degrees, minutes, seconds, and microseconds. The only way that every microsecond latitudinal and longitudinal position on the surface of God's earth can be changed is by the power of God with the earth that he created, and he will use his own earth to fulfill his own prophecy by his own power. This marks the beginning of the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. This is the opening of the sixth seal. The 42 months that follow are months of terror and horror. They are the time of Jacob's trouble. They are the time that there has never been a time like it and never will be a time like it again since God made the earth. In Revelation 6:12, we are told, "And behold, and I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake." This is the first earthquake in the book of Revelation. It marks the time the Antichrist begins his attack against Israel. It marks the time that the woman flees into the wilderness. It marks the time that Michael stands up in heaven and begins to fight. It marks the time known as Jacob's trouble beginning, 42 months of terror and hell on this earth. Now look at Revelation 6:14, and you will see what happens in synchronization, parallel with, at the same time that this great earthquake occurs, the first in the book of Revelation. Verse 14, "And every mountain and island were moved, both in the English language and in any other language." And the English teacher can tell you this, and it's certainly true in the Koine Greek language in which this was written. The word "every" modifies both mountain and island. Every single mountain and every single island were moved out of their places. No one can do that but God. And this mechanism that you are looking at is owned, operated, and controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's a fact. God also owns, operates, and controls this earth. What I'm showing you is not a theory. It's not a hypothesis. It's not a premise. It's not an idea. It's a fact. It's been proven by seismic tomography. We've been able to photograph the earth with seismic tomography all the way to its core. Everywhere you see a red line on that chart, along the entire length of miles and miles of red lines, along every single inch, those lines work their way erratically down through the earth, digging themselves in different angles, and go down and make contact with great underground liquid lakes of rock called magma. That is not a theory, it is a fact. Just like a boat floats along on water, these huge pieces of the earth's crust called tectonic plates float on these underground liquid lakes of rock called magma, and they move in the general direction indicated by these black arrows. They actually move and shift at the present time. That is what produces the world's earthquakes and the world's volcanic eruptions. That is not a theory, it is an absolute irrefutable fact. Because these plates move along the boundaries, when tension and pressure build up and are suddenly released, it produces the world's earthquakes. Over 95% of all the world's earthquakes are produced along those red lines. Over 90% of all the world's fire and brimstone that comes down out of the first heaven, the Uranos, on man, over 90% of all the fire and brimstone that comes down upon man comes up out of these cracks because the volcanic eruptions occur along these cracks. Over 90% of all fire and brimstone that comes down upon man from heaven after it has come up out of these cracks. These cracks, these plates, this whole structure, the earth is owned, operated, and controlled by the same Holy Spirit of God who wrote these prophecies. He's going to move these plates, and the mark of the movement is this great earthquake that begins to set them in motion. During the course of the 42 months, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, you're going to have these plates move anywhere from 3 to 4 feet. It is going to be the greatest single movement of tectonic plates that has ever occurred. A 3 to 4 foot movement would produce the exact holocaust that is described in the book of Revelation. There are three phenomena in the book of Revelation that are mentioned over and over again between the sixth seal and the seventh trumpet and the seventh vial. Earthquake, fire, brimstone. Earthquake, fire, brimstone. This is the mechanism that produces the world's earthquakes, fire, and brimstone. It is owned, operated, and controlled by the same Holy Spirit who put those three phenomena in over and over again, earthquake, fire, and brimstone. After the opening of the sixth seal, there is another great earthquake. It occurs on the opening of the seventh seal. Then there are seven terrifying, horrifying events that are going to occur in the trumpets that will gradually phase into the vials. Next Sunday, we're going to cover trumpet number one, then two, then three. You're going to see these phenomena unleashed on the earth. You're going to see how they're related to these tectonic plates, at least some of them. And we're going to continue with those right on through the vials. To give you an illustration of what I believe is going to happen during the tribulation period, I prepared these two charts. I never do quite get them on here just exactly correct. So if I do, it'll be a first. Here you see the Atlas Mountains. Over here you see the Pyrenees. Over here you see the Alps. Over here you see the Taurus Mountains. These are mountain ranges. This is the African continent, Saudi Arabia, Spain, Italy, France, England. At the present time that I'm speaking to you, and I bow before God, knowing I must answer at the judgment seat of Christ, this whole northern part of Africa is already turning around like a clock. It's moving very slowly. There's a rift valley that I was in last March over there. I surveyed it. It runs right across here. The whole northern part of Africa, the northern part, is turning, independent of the southern part. We're having more and more cracks open in the rift valley. It's moving very slowly, perhaps only a few centimeters a year. It's subducting down underneath the Italian boot heel because the crust here under the Mediterranean is basaltic. The Italian boot is granitic, which is a lighter rock, and it is going underneath, and it produces the volcanoes that occur in Italy. You're going to see the city of Rome burn to a crisp. When the sixth seal is opened and this great earthquake occurs, Africa, which is already moving, along with the rest of the world, is going to continue to move. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to have a movement of these tectonic plates. Now, this is exaggerated. They won't move this much. That's the opening of the sixth seal. Then the seventh seal. They continue to move. Then you have the terrifying events of the trumpets, and they continue to move. Then you have the seven vials of wrath, and they continue to move. I want you to notice that every single mountain on the surface of this particular chart and diagram in Africa, Saudi Arabia, the Middle East, and Europe, every single one has changed latitude and longitude and coordinates. That's the only way it can be done. And the only one who can do it is God, because he's the only one who owns, operates, and controls these plates. During the tribulation period, he is going to produce a holocaust like the world has never seen. You're going to see a hell come up on this earth, and man is not going to destroy himself with thermonuclear weaponry. That's a very popular concept. It just isn't true. Now, to show you the same effect in the oceans and seas of the world, here's Midway Island, here's Wake Island, here's the Palmyra Islands, and here is Honolulu. I want you to notice what will happen to every island on the earth when this begins to occur. The whole Pacific tectonic plate has a ring of volcanoes around it. The whole Pacific tectonic plate will move. That's the opening of the sixth seal. Then the opening of the seventh seal. Then seven terrifying trumpets. Then seven terrifying vials of wrath. I want you to notice what has happened at this particular point in time. Midway Island has fled over here, so it's no longer found there. Wake Island is no longer found here because it has fled over here. The Hawaiian Islands are no longer found here because they have fled here. Palmyra has fled down to here, so it is no longer found there. That will be true of every mountain and every island on the surface of God's earth. Only God can do this, but God wrote these prophecies. So by the time you go through from this first scripture, where mountains and islands are mentioned together, you go through the first earthquake in the book of Revelation. Then finally you go through the last earthquake in the book of Revelation. And by this time, all these plates have probably moved about 3 to 5 feet. I want you to notice what happens as a synopsis, as a conclusion of what has occurred during that time. Revelation 16, 18, there were voices. That word is phonos, noises. Anyone who knows anything about earthquakes has ever been in one. It produces the eeriest noises you've ever heard. And thunders and lightnings. Every one of these are phenomena that are produced by volcanic eruptions. As a certified meteorologist, as a geologist, I can tell you that anytime moisture comes out of a volcano, fire comes out of a volcano, liquid rock, magma, that it comes out at 1,200 to 1,600 degrees Celsius. If there's any moisture in the area, it lifts straight up, produces a fantastic thunderstorm, hail like you would not believe. Such as was, there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. I want you to notice the final synopsis of the movement of these plates. And every island fled away. Because people did not understand this principle of the tectonic plates in the past, many preachers in previous times have sworn up and down, this means that every island sank. Yet that isn't true, because in the millennial reign you have islands mentioned. So every island did not sink, and that word fled does not mean to go down, to sink. In English and Koine Greek, it means to move horizontally. And the mountains were not found. In the past, before we discovered many of these things that the Lord said we would, he told Daniel in the last chapter of Daniel, he said, shut up the word, seal the book until the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now that we understand the plates, many of the things that God said, only God understood when he wrote them. We are the last generation. We are meant to understand these things because we are the only generation that really needed to understand them, because we're the generation that's going to be here when this terror breaks out on the earth. And the mountains were not found. That does not mean that they were all leveled, because mountains are found in the millennial reign quite frequently. It means they were not found where they were, because they fled away from that location, and the geographical and latitudinal coordinates of every mountain and island on the surface of God's earth has been changed. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, what we're facing here is not a thermonuclear holocaust. We're not facing something where the nations begin to destroy themselves. Before they can destroy themselves, God is going to destroy them with the very earth that he himself created for that purpose. And when the tribulation period is finished, you had better believe that no one who survives is allowed to come through. And both some Jews and Gentiles will. Don't ask me how God intends to choose those that do. I don't know. But I do know that some will come through. And I do know that they will have 1,000 years and their descendants to remember the terror and the horror that was unleashed not by man's thermonuclear weaponry, but by the awesome power of Almighty God. Now, we're going to begin a part of that terror next Sunday morning. Lord willing, we're going to be talking about the blowing of the first trumpet itself. Now, remember, we left off here after we had covered events that occurred during the 42 months. We talked about the blowing of the trumpets, thunders, lightnings, earthquakes. We talked about the seal opening, the seventh seal. You had thunders, lightnings, and earthquakes. We talked a little bit about the opening, or not the opening, but the blowing of the first trump. First angel sounded, hail and fire mingled with blood cast upon the earth. We're going to cover that, Lord willing, next Sunday morning. And then we went on through, in verse 13, a great earthquake. The tenth part of the city fell. This is going to be a time of terror like man has never seen before. And it's what we're going to be covering during the next few months. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. The remnant were frightened and gave glory to the God of heaven. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdom of this world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in the temple the ark of the testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Now we take a look at the very end of the 42 months. We're going to be going into that 42 months, and we're going to be looking at it both from a Old Testament prophecy and New Testament prophecy standard, and we're going to be seeing the awesome terror that is there. Revelation 16, 15 through 18. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Whenever a priest failed to go underneath the temple in the time of John when this was written, and completely immerse himself before the high priest came the next morning, you never knew when the high priest would come. Sometimes he would come before midnight, sometimes at midnight, sometimes in the wee hours of the morning, sometimes when the cock crew, and sometimes not until daybreak. You never knew exactly when he would come. If you had not been down underneath the temple and completely immersed yourself in the water that flowed underneath it, then you were not allowed to participate as a priest in any of the temple sacrifices that day. You had to go outside the gate, stand there, nothing but a beach cloth. You had to take off your priestly garments, and it was your punishment. It was a terrible embarrassment. You'd be surprised how many people got caught. When the Lord comes back, a lot of God's children aren't keeping their garments. And a lot of God's children in heaven are not going to receive the reward that God had planned for them. They're going to be there. They're going to have glorified bodies. They're going to be in great, wonderful positions. But nothing like they could have been if they had kept their garments, if they had been faithful to God. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. So what I've talked about this morning is simply this. All the earthquakes, fire, brimstone, upheavals, earth movements, troubled waters, and worldwide destruction are between the sixth seal and the seventh vial, the first earthquake and the last earthquake. This marks the beginning and end of the 42 months. The beginning of the massive tectonic plate movements begins in Revelation 6, 12, and 14. And I beheld when it opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. That's the first earthquake. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. We'll be talking about what that means, precisely what a scroll is, and exactly what the heavenly scenario will be before I'm finished with these next few months. And every mountain and island removed out of their place. That's the beginning of the movement of these tectonic plates. Here's the final plate movement on the last vial in Revelation 16, 18, 20. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. That's the last earthquake. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. Now, I will not be on this earth when God's wrath is poured out. But these were put in the book of Revelation for a purpose. And they are to be taught in our churches, and God's people are to see them. The reason I know that is this. In the very first chapter of Revelation, John tells us he is writing this to the seven churches of Asia. Seven times in chapters 2 and 3, seven times in chapters 2 and 3, he makes this statement. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So you need to hear this. In the very last chapter, he closes in Revelation 22, 16 by saying, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel, my messenger, my angelos, to testify unto you these things in the churches. So these things are to be taught. I know some preachers who say, well, that sort of stuff, we're not going to be here. Who cares about that stuff? Well, I don't give a rip about his opinion, but we're told to teach it. So you do with it what you will. But the truth is, there is coming a time of terror and horror on this earth like man has never seen. So why do this for Sunday school? You need to keep your garments. There's going to be a wedding supper. There's going to be a marriage of the Lamb. And you need to be in a position where, if possible, you can live as close to Jesus as you'd like. Heaven is not a little small place. It's not a popcorn kernel. There's a new heaven and a new earth. The city that comes down on it is three-fifths the size of the United States. So why keep your garments? Why be faithful? Why come to church? Why serve God? Why seek God? Why ask for the things of God? Why seek the things of God? Why knock for the things of God? Why try to be spiritual? Why try to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus? Why try to let the Lord, through your response to him, change your attitude and outlook? That's what keeping your garments is. That's what shows up on the outside. I guarantee you, every single person who ever was faithful to God after they were saved and followed his commandments in obedience, they're going to be glad they did when they arrive in heaven. Peter commanded the house of Cornelius to be baptized. I don't want to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, not even having followed that commandment. And I certainly don't want to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, having failed to be faithful in his church. These things are coming on the earth. You better think about them. You better thank God that you're not going to be here when his wrath is poured out. But you better start living for the Lord, because these things are in the not too far distant future. And we'll go ahead and take a short break.